You're listening to Football Special, the definitive Donegal GAA podcast.
Hello again, folks. Here we are for episode 8 of Football Special podcast. Now that we're back on the road again, we came out from under our stones and are happy to record again. Of course, there was no podcast after that infamous Ulster final, but that was purely due to logistics and not anything else. Joined here at the moment by Damien Dowds and Alan Foley. Guys, let's take this in chronological order. The Ulster final against Monaghan, was that just a very bad day at the office, or what happened? Help me understand, because I don't.
Certainly a very bad day at the office anyway. Donegal started tremendously poorly. They were 4 points down after 7 or 8 minutes. Lost Mark McHugh shortly after that. And, you know, never really looked like getting back into it. We were only 5-2 down at half time. So Monaghan hadn't, after the good start, they didn't necessarily build on it. It reminded me a wee bit, I thought, of the 2011 semi-final against Tyrone, where, we got a couple of scores late on that might have give us the platform for the second half of that game, but it just never materialised, and Donegal desperately needed a goal from early in the second half, and there was no sign of it coming. And, I think that's something that's been notable for all the games against Down, against Monaghan, and against Laois. There's been no goal chances, never mind a goal.
We're averaging less. In goal terms, we're averaging less than we did in 2011. The only game in 2011 we didn't score a goal in was that semi-final against Dublin. We'd scored a goal in every other game, like two goals this year against Tyrone, two very well-constructed goals, I think. And I thought that was a taste of things to come, but nothing since then. Alan,
There hadn't really been the space. Those three teams, the last three we've played, have set up so defensively against us that it's very, very hard to create the space that you need to create those goal chances. We didn't get a sniff of one. There was a couple of half chances really, with Murphy throwing his leg at one and Frank McGlynn punching one on,
that was a Ryan Bradley shot that
Frank fell short.
Frank was trying to catch. Alan, what was your take on it all?
Yeah, I think we probably underestimated Monaghan. For all we said about not underestimating them, and Jim was very respectful chatting about players like Darren News and Kieran News, but they were from the first maybe 5 minutes, I just thought we're not going to win this game. I think maybe at that stage 7 or 8 balls had dropped around the middle third, and Monaghan were on every single one of them. I don't think they're world beaters, but they were the Ulster champions in fairness, and you got a hand to them. But even a couple of their fans said afterwards, everything they probably could have went their way did go their way in the day. But as I said, you couldn't begrudge them on the day. They were definitely the better side, and even the scenes at the end, you could see really what it meant to people. And maybe with us winning the All-Ireland and back-to-back Ulsters, we got maybe overlooked the Ulster final and its importance a little, because you could see what it meant to the people of Monaghan and to the people of Limerick in the Munster Hurling final. So
yeah,
it was a bit of a leveller, really.
I mean the great pity about it, it wasn't just an Ulster final. It was the chance for three in a row, and that chance is now gone, and we might not get it again under Jim McGuinness. So it's a really just, that was the really disappointing thing. I think if it had been an Ulster final in and of itself, you don't like losing finals obviously, but the fact it was a three in a row. Chris, a few decisions were made on the line that day, probably before throw-in, that I think probably the way the game played out really caught us by surprise, or really kind of, seemed to be bad decisions for the first time in a long time under Jim McGuinness.
Yeah, I think probably for the first time ever under Jim McGuinness, both before the game and particularly in the first half with a few of the changes, we were probably questioning what was happening, the decision not to start Neil Gallagher, and 20 minutes in, we were going to summons Neil Gallagher for 50 minutes. Now, I would always argue to that, if Neil Gallagher's fit for 50 minutes, then put him in at the start and see, can we get 50 minutes, possibly 60, 70 out of him?
Yep.
There was the thing as well, taking players on, putting them back. There was, I would say, 4 or 5 instances that we could probably question there. And I suppose the big one was the decision to start Carl. I suppose he'd been showing well in training. The word was that he was flying in training, actually. But, flying in training in Balvafay is an entirely different matter to being flying in an Ulster final. And I suppose ultimately Carroll just wasn't up to playing 70 minutes that day. And I think in hindsight, if management were to do it again, they probably wouldn't start Carroll. That said, a lot of people have said since that the main aim was to get Carroll 70 minutes under his belt. I don't particularly know if that's the case.
Yeah.
I think the management genuinely felt that Carroll was probably good enough to maybe a 60-70% fit Carlisi was still good enough.
Probably in the context that Monaghan were just going to come out and sit back and we could ease him into the game. But it was very obvious in the word go, he just wasn't up to it. And that's no criticism of Carr, but I mean, you just kind of watch it and kind of go, how did they get it kind of so wrong? But I mean, I think they just, as you said, Alan, underestimated Monaghan, and probably not even the way Monaghan could play, but the way they came out and played from the start. And I mean, it was just, you know, it was like a whirlwind almost, like they tore into us. And then we were so flat that, you know, it was inevitable. And 4 points may as well have been 14 after 10 minutes.
We're all guilty of it, really, because we all sat here before the Monaghan game saying, Down had tried to put a bit of a temper
in. Not all of us were here now, I think, you know. But anyway, go on.
Down had put a bit of a template in place, and we were saying, well, Monaghan can't do that. You know, they don't have what it takes, basically. But if you don't put it back now, you can see Monaghan have all the raw materials to upset us, to play that formation well, where Down didn't. Monaghan had two great forwards inside, Conor McManus, Kieran Hughes. They had a strong pairing in the middle of the field. Good people breaking, like Desi Moan from the half back line, and a really kind of strong and no nonsense full back line that really didn't give Michael and Patrick McBurdy especially a kick. Colm was hounded out of it too, although Colm, I don't think, done as bad as some people said he did.
No, I thought he was given a very just tough game. Like, you know, I think Drew Wiley got away with playing to the limit of the law. Fair play to him. No complaints. Like, you know, I mean, but you watch it back and you see, God, Colm was, he just got no space at all to operate in all day, you know.
No, and I suppose maybe, I don't know if it is going to be the last final in Clonus, but maybe it was just written in the stars as well, with Monaghan having an unbelievable win in the minor championship, although Tyrone will be kicking themselves there, and a thoroughly impressive victory over us as well. So,
yeah, I mean, I think, is it fair to say that overall you can't pinpoint, it's very hard to pinpoint individual things. It was just collectively a very flat, a very badly planned, organised, I don't know what word I want to use, like, because we just didn't seem to play with the shape we play, the dynamism we normally play with. It didn't look like Donegal.
It's unprecedented, I suppose, in the McGuinness era. You know, one thing that we'd spoken about, you know, was that Donegal always give a performance, like, you know, but the performance was entirely absent that day, like, and, you know, and obviously maybe there was a bit of shell shock at the lead. Some of the preparations in beforehand the game, the training pitch was in a different place, and players are getting lost going to it and so on. Like, there's a few little things that happened that probably upset the apple cart a wee bit, but the main thing that it was, Monaghan went out and got that very early lead, like, and it forced us to chase the game, and you know, we never really looked like making an impression on it, like, you know. So and look, the team that gets the tail up, like, you know, can really hammer home, and that's what Monaghan did. Like, I mean, it was 13-7. Donegal hit 11 wides, which is unusual as well. We'd only hit six in the championship until that. You know, our free taking, I think we'd missed three scorable frees as well. So, you know, and from McFadden missed one pretty early on, like, you know, and it kind of just set an uneasy template for the day. Like, it was, you know, a 6-point defeat going on 16, to be honest. Like, we were completely not at the races.
You talked about the wides there. We had 11 versus 6 in the previous two games, but the reality is we were taking so few shots to go with so few wides that, you know, it was just, I mean, you know, this was coming in some respects. Like, our efficiency was brilliant, but, you know, it was probably unsustainable in some respects.
We weren't creating enough shots.
We had 17 shots in each of the first two games against Tyrone and Down, 71% success rate, so that is pretty unsustainable. And when you see then against Monaghan, only 35% success, so we're probably somewhere in the middle, about, you know, slightly over maybe 55 or so, but you can't keep going 71%, though.
No, I mean, and, like, maybe we'll come back to this again, but Michael Murphy had one flick at goal. He didn't have another shot, a free. Monaghan didn't give away a free on the left-hand side of the pitch for him to kick, which is astounding. You know, our forward, our inside forward line didn't score from play. I mean, the only point you would kind of take your hat off to was Ryan McHughes, and that was a huge point for so many reasons. It was his first championship start, and, I mean, the young fella, and have the tenacity to come up and kick a point like that, fair play to him. But you know, you don't like second guessing too much, you know, because it's one game. You know, that's the reality. One game, and how many in Ulster in the last 3 years? You know, so it was an outlier.
Defensively as well, though, you know, we were very badly exposed. Like, you know, I don't think all that can be put down to, you know, having to chase the game. You know, I mean, Kieran Hughes at the start of the second half, like, was left 1-on-1 with Eamon McGee. And, you know, obviously losing the likes of Mark McHugh early on, who's important in that role, and not having Carlisi, you know, who's very important in that role as well, up to full speed, certainly caught us out. But defensively, we were very poor. I was looking at some stats, like, you know, Monaghan got inside our 45 on 34 different occasions in that Ulster final. They had 26 shots, but of the other, whatever it is, eight or so efforts in there, they only lost possession on five occasions inside our 45. So that means that we only either they only misplaced a pass,
yeah,
or they were forced into a turnover on only, yeah, five occasions inside our 45, which is, again, if you went and look back, it's probably almost unprecedented.
Yeah, I mean, it was, watching it back, the first few scores, it's just, they were able to do whatever they wanted. They really kicked the ball into the full forward line, and they weren't getting a shot off, but they were able to play it back out to the half forward line, play around with it until someone came running forward to take the shot. Like, it was just like nothing I've seen in under Jim McGuinness, you know.
Yeah, and the first point, even from Darren Hughes, was just a real statement of intent. Yeah. I thought when you look back, it just runs, yeah, straight at them at the, yeah, Donegal. There was a little clip in the Sunday game. I think Monaghan had a move. They broke 12 Donegal tackles in the one move.
Yeah,
I think Donegal barely left, like, got broken 12 times last year in a full match, yeah, because those players just bouncing off Donegal players. So I think the one thing now, looking at where we are, but a collective, mm, failure of everything is nearly better than, yeah, a partial failure.
Exactly.
So we,
exactly,
have to, suppose, rather, yeah, the positive here. So
I mean, Emmett Ryan wrote in his blog today that Monaghan didn't beat the system; they beat the players, and he said the players were not themselves, and that's fine. I mean, you know, I'm kind of happy enough to write it off to that and say that the system isn't broken, but when the players aren't operating at the level they were last year, then the system isn't going to work as such, the system we play, and I think that's a concern. That was Ulster. We limped on to Carrick and Shannon. You know, a lot of people put out by the venue, but it was great atmosphere there. It was great to see, you know, kind of 9,000-10,000 Donegal folk in a tight ground, and with a referee who was never going to disappoint. You know, and I suppose the first 20 minutes, it was pretty poor stuff, Chris.
Awful stuff, really, for the first 20 minutes. I think it was Colin McFadden's free, was it 11, 12 minutes before there was even a shot on goal? But looking at the way Leash set up, like, I counted at one stage that actually all 15 of their players within the 45, they hadn't one man from beyond their 45. So, you know, when you look at that, it's probably no wonder. And Donegal, again, were probably happy enough to be patient, and as the half wore on, they started picking the holes, and Patrick McBurdy got a great score to put us 5-1 up at half time. And I think very much like a few games we've seen this year, we could have pressed on but didn't, and I suppose as the game went on, then there was a wee bit of nervousness creeping in that, you know, there was one shot that we kind of thought for a couple of brief moments that Paul Durkin was actually going to come under the ball, but thankfully we got over that and finished pretty strongly. I suppose there were quite a few bright sparks that, you know, Colin McFadden found his shooting bits again. Patrick McBurdy, pretty lively. The McGees, Neil Gallagher, Frank McGlynn, all finding their form again. But at the same time, it wasn't convincing to the level that maybe we had wished.
Yeah, because I mean, fair enough, you know, Leash came out and played very defensively. Were they ever going to play any other way? Like, you know, we should have, well, you know, we didn't get caught, in fairness, but it took us a while to figure it out, or maybe we were deliberately slow in figuring it out. We just wanted to keep the game tight for the first 10-15 minutes, like we didn't do against Munley.
That's it. I mean, I think at one stage, like, you know, on one of the occasions that Munley did stay up, like there was three or four Donegal defenders around him, so we weren't committing the numbers into attack, probably, that, you know, we were leaving 3-4 back mind the house along with only one forward, like, in good knowledge Munley is, he's not that good, but it did take us, but look, there was so little space for our attack to work and our counter-attackers to run into there. It just made things very difficult. Like, and I suppose the notable score towards the end from Colin McFadden, where there was about five or six around, and somehow he found half an inch, not even half a yard of space to get his shot off there. Like, but it was a very, very difficult. Like, I mean, it was a more defensive setup from Leash than even we employed against Dublin in 2011. Like, you know, I mean, it was the most defensive I've ever seen. Like, and somehow we did get over it, like, and we did finish quite strongly, like, and, you know, we were always in charge, like, and, you know, looking at the stats from that, I was mentioning the Monaghan ones, like, 48 times we went inside the Leash 45, and we had 27 attempts in goal that gave us 14 points, so, you know, big improvement on the Monaghan game, like, you know, in terms of creating it, but a lot of those, I'm saying 48 attacks, like, a lot of those are balls that we're trying to be direct and get the ball in very quick, and, you know, a lot of them didn't come off for us either, like, you know, so a lot of possession has been lost inside their 45, and defensively, like, I mean, we had Laois pretty well snuffed out. I mean, they only had 20 attempts on goal and scored 8 points. Like, so, they, you know, it was well down.
And three of those, I think, were probably from outside the 45.
Outside the 45, yeah. Minutes and so on. Like, you know, so look, they did figure out eventually. Like, and the other thing that was notable as well, I thought, was that Rory Gallagher and Jim McGuinness were more animated. And that's not just talking about the McNulty incident and the Fergal Byron, but Rory Gallagher was on the pitch more, probably in a half and maybe even 20 minutes. Against Laois to issue instructions, and he had been in the whole game against against Monaghan, like, you know, so you could see that the dander was certainly up. Like,
it was probably a case maybe where that Monaghan defeat was a wake up call for everyone, you know, the whole collective as a unit, management and the players, and, you know, I suppose it was a wake up call in a sense that you know, even from very early on Saturday night, Rory was on the field a couple of times, so, you know, it was about getting that perfection back from as early as we could.
But it was still. How do you think that sets us up going into Croke Park now? And does it make us feel any better or worse, or just the same as we did after Monaghan?
It's hard a game you're never going to come out smelling roses off, especially when a team played like Laois did. We weren't overly impressive, I thought, but like after 20 minutes, the lads explained to themselves afterwards that they knew Laois were going to set up like that, and just to be patient instead of just kicking stupid balls in. So even though sometimes it might be a little frustrating to watch, they know what they're doing, I think. There's a couple of good issues, a couple of bad issues really, but as I said, you're not going to come out of it major well, I think. The one thing afterwards, Jim said plenty afterwards, one of the interesting thing was he doesn't expect us to be crowded out as much in Croke Park, no matter who we were playing. He didn't know we had Mayo at that stage.
Yeah.
As we have been in the last three games in particular. So maybe the likes of Michael Murphy will probably revel in the, as they say, the wide open space at Croke Park.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't the only interesting thing Jim said after the game. He was asked about the incident involving Mark McHugh in the Ulster final, and here's what he had to say.
I'm not happy that we have a player with a busted eardrum. I'm not happy that he had a major concussion. I'm not happy that he has a 5 centimetre, not millimetre, centimetre tear in his quad muscle as a result of the impact. I'm not happy that he spent 2 nights in hospital. I'm not happy that he has missed a full week off work. We're in a very dangerous position here. A very dangerous position. And I would fear that something is going to happen. And my biggest fear, being honest with you, is a spinal injury or a neck injury. He shifted a very, very heavy tackle in the All-Ireland final as well on the 14-metre-yard line. And he didn't do a minute's good in the game after that. We have to create a situation where we feel that it's okay to put people out on the pitch. Monaghan were the better team. We lost the final. That's not an issue, number one. And number two, we are not afraid of physicality. We can live with that. And there was a lot of incidences out there the day where our players were trying to get up the field and they were being stopped from getting up the field. And it's going to happen. And I just hope that everybody that's involved in that can live with the consequences, because I know I won't be able to.
Well, what do we all make of that?
Strong words is there from Jim. There's been an awful lot of talk about this in the lead up to the match against Mayo. James Horan, of course, he had his response on Sunday night. I think Jim has a genuine care. I don't know why there's such a big deal about people, a manager having genuine concern about player welfare. Maybe he is angling for another little bit as well in there. But I think the bottom line, having stood there and watched him say it, he actually wasn't even going to bring this up. The interview was actually winding to a close and he was pressed in. This came up, but I think there's no harm, first of all, of looking for you know, a little bit of care whether our players have been targeted or not. It's a big call to make, but I think the tackle of Mark McHugh was reckless. A lot of people think it's reckless, but for some reason people think reckless isn't a big deal. You know, it's maybe over enthusiasm. Like, it was a very reckless challenge, I thought.
Absolutely, it was this ball man and all thing, like, you know. But McGuinness does make a good point. The Irish Times this morning is reporting that the GAA's own database of injuries to intercounty players has about 1,700 injuries recorded over the last 8 years, and 13 of those are concussions. Now, if Donegal have got 4 this season, what is the reason for that? Now, I suspect that it's not that Donegal... I suspect that concussions have been underreported. That's been the case in other sports. It's been the case in rugby and American football and so on. And I'd say that's very much likely what's happening in Gaelic football as well. But, you know, I think that the reaction to some of what McGuinness said particularly on the point that he seemed to be trying to get across was the concussions. Like, but the reaction has been pretty poor. That, like, you know, it's about people, you know, accusing Donegal of having brought physicality into Gaelic football and so on over the last couple of years. That's not correct.
Yeah.
The concussions problem itself needs to be looked at. Needs to be better addressed. Like, because, you know, it is very serious. And you know, the challenge in both Mark McHugh and Ryan Bradley's concussions in the Ulster Championship, it's been their head hitting the ground afterwards that's probably been the main cause of it, like, you know. And you know, I think there is probably a duty of care as well. I mean, the likes of the NFL has the American football, they have a rule about, you know, a defenseless receiver or a defensive player can't be tackled, like, you know, if you're going to endanger him, like, you know. And very hard to see how what we can put in, you know, into Gaelic football to try and address that. But if a player is completely open and you go determined to take him out, you've got every opportunity of doing it, like, you know, because once they're open, they can be opened, literally, like, you know. I mean, you'll often tell people that, and even as a coach, like, you'd be telling them, like, you'll get them on the ball, you will get your chance, and when you get your chance, you leave them with it, like, you know. And you can only imagine what level that's been taken to at inter-county level, where they've done the strength and conditioning work over the last couple of years, and the force and the impact that they're hitting. So why Gaelic football is a much cleaner game today than it was a number of years, 10, 15 years ago, whatever, like, the power of the hits that the players are putting on one another is substantial, and it is causing concussions. Donegal have had four. The Irish Independent yesterday reported that there's only one other concussion in the championship, and it was Richie Parr for Kilkenny in the hurling last weekend. No other concussions in the championship apparently reported. So I suspect it's been underreported, but shining the light on it's done no harm. But it's been kind of spun as though it's though Jim McGuinness trying to play mind games. I don't think that was the intention of what he was saying.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people probably missed the general point of what Jim was saying, you know, that there is a difference between this physicality and the hard hitting and a reckless challenge, i.e. a dangerous one that has left a guy with, you know, quite serious injuries. You know, the perforated eardrum and concussion, and, you know, the guy spent two nights in hospital and stuff. And while I don't think there was any intention on Stephen Gallagher's behalf to severely injure Mark McHugh, there was certainly that element of roughing him up as such, so that, you know, if there was another loose ball between them, that Mark McHugh would think twice. I do suspect, had the loose ball been between Stephen Gallagher and, for argument's sake, Neil Lehman McGee, Neil Gallagher, then, you know, we wouldn't have had this scenario. But, you know, I think the general point of what Jim was saying was that there are instances where Donegal players have been on the receiving end of over-the-top treatment. We saw it in the Ulster final. You know, I suppose Michael himself was playing it down, saying it was 6-1, half a dozen, with that, where Vinnie Corey had dragged him to the floor at the end of the first half. And we saw it again on Saturday night, where countless occasion himself and Patrick McBurdy were taken out of it with the ball maybe 40, 50, 60 metres the other end of the field, you know. And I suppose it's no harm going into Croke Park that Jim has at least drawn a bit of attention, and, you know, you never know, the referees might be.
That's exactly what he's done, yeah. He's just drawn attention to it. Like, I've just looked up the definition there of recklessness out of complete boredom, but it's a blatant disregard of the dangers of a particular situation. So I think with that in mind, that's exactly what the challenge of McHugh is like.
Funny, I spoke to an inter-county referee today just on the challenge to get his interpretation of it, and he said that there was a two-word phrase that's used with referees, rough play. And, you know, Mark McHugh had left himself open, but it was therefore impossible for Stephen Gallagher to give him the so-called fair shoulder because he was so open. So, again, it was reckless, absolutely, careless.
One of the things that you're seeing, and we saw it, and McGuinness referenced it too, much to the disquiet or to the displeasure of James Horan, but, you know, there was a number of occasions in last year's All-Ireland final where both Carl Lacey and Mark McHugh were targeted. And one of the things that was really crept into Gaelic football is this target. Once a player is off the ground, whether he's jumping to field the ball or he's hopping up, as McHugh was in that case, or he's trying to field it as Ryan Bradley was, it's a very, very dangerous thing. Players are coming in and deliberately hitting them when they're in the air so that they lose their feet, their footing, and what they're falling on their backs and then hitting their head off the ground. And, I mean, that is a particularly dangerous thing. It's been pretty much ruled out in rugby, I think, that you're not allowed to challenge it. And it's a very, very, very dangerous, a very, very dangerous tackle. You know, the player can't orientate himself when he's in the air and get his feet down to break his fall, maybe not even get the chance to put his arms down. Like, and those are dangerous. Those are careless and reckless and dangerous tackles. And, you know, there is a bit of a spotlight being shone on now. How you would fix it. It was Callum King that made the challenge on Ryan Bradley. The ball was coming out. King went for the ball. He won the ball actually ahead above Bradley and took him man, ball and all. Bradley landed on the flat of his back and head off the ground and was concussed and didn't train for the rest of that week and so on. Like, but you know, it's something that's there, and it's something that probably does need to be looked at, and maybe it's something that the Football Review Committee might have been well advised to have a wee look at.
The black card will solve this problem. I mean, I hope you know that. It's certainly a tense game. It really put us back in the spotlight. And you know, whatever about what he said and why he said it, if anything else has taken the spotlight off the players, there's no real talk this week of who's starting for Donegal, what kind of shape they're in, and so on. So, I mean, in some ways that's good, and it's classic Jim as well, because we saw something similar before the final last year. So, and I mean, again, I think certainly the piece about the concussions was from the heart, if you like. I think he kind of tailed off at the end a wee bit, and that maybe, you know, has got everyone's blood up a bit, and so be it, fine, you know. Now we have Ed McGreal on the line from Mayo News. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Ciarán. How's things?
Not too bad, Ed. Mind you, I'd say you're in a happier place down there than we are up here. The general kind of mood in Mayo seems to be one of good confidence. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it is fair to say, and we were talking about it today in our own podcast, which we recorded this morning. That never since perhaps the All-Ireland semi-final of 1989 have Mayo people looked forward to a game more than an All-Ireland final than they are looking forward to this game. It's partly because it's the All-Ireland finalists that they're playing, and also the fact that Donegal beat Mayo in that All-Ireland final, and the way we described it today, it would be the equivalent of if Mayo drew me in the 1997 All-Ireland Championship. That would have been, I suppose, of a similar billing to this game. But yeah, there's a belief, unusually for Mayo people, there's a very bullish belief about the place that they can get over the line with this game, that they're in a good place, a better place than Donegal. But time will tell on Sunday, and I'm sure Hugh McGuinness has other plans.
Yeah, and I mean the supporters as well. I've read some things kind of saying that you maybe feel like you were outshouted at the final last year, and but I believe now there's queues outside McHale Park for tickets today.
Yeah, Sean Rice, our esteemed columnist at the Mayo News, said it was like a queue for confession today in McHale Park. That many people were there for tickets. But I'm not sure what sins they were there to profess, that they didn't go to all the National League games or what, and they were only joining on the bandwagon now. But there's a huge level of interest. It's all people are talking about at the minute. And I suppose part of that as well is that it was such a lame duck of a Connacht Championship, and people kind of always felt that things would really kick off on the bank holiday weekend in August. But they were expecting it would be a team through the back door like a Cork or a Tyrone, which would be a good game to look forward to, but still wouldn't. The game people really had in mind from a long way out was Donegal in an All-Ireland semi-final, and suddenly it's Donegal in an All-Ireland quarter-final, and people are cock-a-hoop about such a game, because it's really a mouth-watering game, regardless of the result, and it's fever-pitch anticipation down here ahead of us.
Ed, it's Damien here. You were just mentioning the lame duck during the Connacht Championship. How is there much concern in Mayo that just haven't been fully tested in the run-up to this? Obviously, Donegal have had their credentials tested to the extent that we were found wanting against Monaghan, and probably even found wanting to a lesser degree against some of our other opponents. Is there concerns there? We hear talk about challenge matches being played and so on to try and get the team up to speed. So what's the feeling there?
Well, there would be a... It would be well accepted in the county that the three best games Mayo have had since the National League finished this year were challenge games against Kildare, against Cavan and against Monaghan, which were a lot more competitive than the three games in the Connacht Championship, which is, I suppose, a sad state of affairs. But from Mayo's point of view, James Horan is very much preaching the mantra that all we can worry about is our own performance and not worry about anything else. And if we go out and perform, the result will take care of itself, and that's very much what they've been doing. They've been just getting down to business and carrying on. And I think they'll have drawn a bit of solace as well when you see how Galway have done in the last couple of weeks as well. The fact that they managed to get their season back on track, beat Armagh and should have beaten Cork in Croke Park on Saturday. And if there were Mayo players who felt that they hadn't been tested, suddenly they're thinking, well, maybe that's how good we are, that a Galway team that can run Cork so close couldn't get near us. There's a number of ways of looking at it, but certainly it's not ideal that if there's 10 minutes to go on Sunday and the game is very tight, Mayo cannot draw on a lot from this year's championship to fall back on. But it's a team that's been building for 3 years. They have been in tight games in the last couple of years before that, and you know, you don't forget them games just when the next year rolls on. So I suppose it'll be those games rather than Anthony in the Connacht Championship this year that they'll be relying on.
Yeah, Ed, how's it going? It's Alan here. We always kind of felt, I suppose, the big game of the entire year would be actually Mayo's quarterfinal, because it would really show where Mayo are at. We probably just didn't expect it would be Donegal so early, but as you said, you probably expected maybe like a Tyrone or a Cork or a Meath through the qualifiers. So I suppose everyone in Mayo would have been planning, hopefully, to play Donegal in the semi-final, so there's not that lot of difference, really. Ed, you're probably 2 or 3 weeks earlier, just.
Yeah, very much so. I think the way a lot of people are looking at it, and the way I would look at it certainly, is that Donegal have their own difficulties at the minute, and they're playing 8 days after a Leash game, which in itself was so quickly after the Ulster final. If they were to draw, let's say, another provincial winner, if they were to come through the front door and play a quarter final and get over that, and then they would have 3, possibly 4 weeks rest ahead of a semi final. I think they'll be an altogether different animal. The players will be coming back from injury. They'd have a bit more time to recover. Whereas now, I think from a Mayo point of view, certainly it's the optimum time to get Donegal. In the sense that they will be playing 3 games in 2 weeks, and there does appear to be a toll on certain players in the Donegal squad. So yeah, it was very much a game that Mayo players had in their crosshairs all the time. Once Monaghan turned Donegal over in the Ulster final, suddenly there was how's the draw going to work out for us now? It was obviously still going to be a quarter final before any potential semi final against Donegal anyway, but it kind of changed things somewhat. But I think the players, from whatever they might say about one game at a time and so on, and that's what you'll always hear in aftermath reaction. Donegal in the All Ireland Championship in Croke Park in August was what was in their mind. It happened. It was supposed to be in a semi final later in the month. It's going to be now in a quarter final on the first weekend in August. But it's the game that Mayo players, probably since the All Ireland final last year, would have had in their crosshairs and be looking forward to.
And of course, Ed, Mayo have knocked out the All Ireland champions in each of the last two seasons. You beat Cork 2 years ago in Dublin last year.
Yeah, I don't know if that's how significant that is, because each All Ireland champion is I suppose different, like, you know, in terms of how they go on the following year. And certainly in the Cork game in 2011, it was a poor Cork performance. Like, I think I'm working off memory now. I think it was only 1 point in the entire second half they kicked. Dublin showed an awful lot of fatigue in the game last year, so where Mayo went 10 points clear at one stage in the second half. Is the same thing going to happen with Donegal? I don't think so. I think it'll be a lot tighter, it'll be a lot closer, and it could go score for score a lot longer. You could say it's a good record, but I think it's largely academic when it comes to how things will go on Sunday.
And you know, we're faced with our own injury concerns up here, Ed, but what kind of health are Mayo in overall? I mean, how close are you going to be to your full first choice team on Sunday, do you feel?
James Horn went for quite a caustic comment in the pre-match press conference on Sunday night in Brathay House Hotel, where he said we don't be whining and whinging about injuries, which most people read as a shot across the bows of Jimmy McGuinness, which is definitely cranking up the fight and the intensity on the sideline. But yeah, Mayo have had injury problems. I wrote in a piece in this week's paper that of the 13 forwards that are in the panel at the minute, a couple of them were dropped last week, but of the 13 that remain, only four have had a clear run from injuries in the last 2 months. And crucially, only two of them are realistically going to be starting the next day. One is Kevin McLaughlin, the other is Alan Freeman. Of the other four forwards that may start the next day, Alan Dillon is playing through injury all year. He has a stomach muscle problem. Andy Moran is still on the comeback from the cruciate knee injury, which kept him out of the final in last year's All-Ireland final, picked it up in the quarter-final against Down. Michael Conroy was just back and brought on off the bench against London from a shoulder injury and wasn't on the field 10 minutes when he went off with a hamstring injury. Killian O'Connor, similarly, a shoulder injury picked up in a club game. So you're talking to Richie Feeney, is another guy that has had injury problems. So you're dealing with a lot of uncertainty there about form. Certainly Andy Moore now is going into Croke Park, and there's question marks over how close to 100% he is. At 100%, he's a serious option for Mayo. Even at 80%, he's a serious option. But in that inside line, and Mayo people know full well how difficult it was for the full forward line against Donegal in last year's final to win ball and to keep ball. In that inside line against the likes of the McGees and Paddy McGrath, you know, you're going to need someone like Andy Moore winning so much ball inside. He's going to be crucial. And so is Alan Freeman, who's playing quite well at the minute. But again, that was in a Connacht Championship, which was somewhat substandard to what they're going to meet from now on.
You're down to your third choice keeper as well, Aid.
Yeah, clubmate of my own, Rob Henley, that's in at the minute. First choice keeper David Clark got injured in the Roscommon game and with a hamstring injury, which has since been diagnosed as practically coming off the bone, and he's looking at 10 to 12 weeks. So he's not going to be playing any county football this year. Kenneth O'Malley picked up an ankle injury in that infamous challenge game against Monaghan 10 days before the Connacht and Ulster finals. And at that stage, the following day, Rob Henley got a communique from James Horan to come back in. He was first choice keeper in 2011, sub keeper to David Clark last year up until after the Leitrim game, which stage he pulled out of the squad due to work commitment. He was working in Dublin at the time. And he's home since last October, as far as I recall. And I suppose able to give the commitment a lot more since. But what's involved during the league and what we expect to be involved during the championship, but Mayo stumbled into a goalkeeping crisis, but luckily enough we're able to find a fella who's probably about 23, 24 now at the prime of his career and has serious inter-country experience. So what could have been a very difficult position for Mayo, throwing someone in at the deep end, isn't quite that, and that's going to be a massive relief for them going into Croke Park, that they have someone familiar with playing in Croke Park, familiar with playing in All-Ireland senior semi-final. So that should be a big help, but obviously David Clark and Kenneth O'Malley injuries are unfortunate and are a loss for Mayo too.
You were mentioning beforehand, before we came on there just about a new role for Keith Higgins. I think he played at centre forward or was named at centre forward in the Connacht final. Like, what do you see happening there for him?
Yeah, no, it wasn't quite the way it worked out. He was centre half back. He was named at centre half back because Donald Vaughan, who was being centre half back for most of James Vaughan's time in charge, was injured, had a hamstring twinge, and only came on in that Connacht final in the second half, midway through the second half. Up to that stage in the Connacht final, Keith Higgins had played at centre half back. But strangely, when Donald Vaughan came on for Richie Feeney, Donald went to centre half back and Keith Higgins went to wing forward. And we were speculating, well, this would have viewed to something later, further down the line, because we'd never seen Keith Higgins played in the forward line under any circumstances. And the more obvious switch to make from a point of view of forward experience at the time would have either been to put Donald Vaughan directly in the forward line or else to move Lee Keegan up from wing back to the half forward line. So there was kind of a few of us were speculating, was this something that they were looking at with an eye to Croke Park? And from what we can gather, it has been explored a bit more in the subsequent weeks that Keith Higgins as playing in a more advanced position, but probably with a view to coming back deep into the fence, playing a sweeper role, but also attacking from deep with a bit more freedom than he would ordinarily have as a corner back. So James Horan would be seen as a relatively conservative manager in terms of he likes to go for an established 15. He doesn't change things around too much. He won't be changing in his entire game plan for Donegal in the way that Monaghan may have done. He will make a few tweaks here and there, but Keith Higgins' role will be very interesting to see if that's where he plays, because that would represent, by James Thorne standards, a radical departure for this game in Croke Park. But the Mayo team hasn't been named yet, and even if it is named, I'm not sure if you see that actual strategy on the programme team. I'd say it's something you'll only see at 2 minutes before on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, quite interesting just the way you mentioned that Mayo might set up as well, because the likes of Down, Monaghan and Leash have all set up ultra-defensively against Donegal in recent weeks. It's unlikely, is it, that Mayo would set up that way? I mean, they won't allow, you know, you've heard Horan making comments about, you know, not allowing Donegal to dictate how the game is going to be played or the terms in which the game is going to be played. So it's likely that while they might use Higgins as one extra sweeper, they're not going to do what Leash did. I mean, at stages there on Saturday night, Leash had all 15 men back inside their own half, like, you know. So it's more likely that Mayo will try and play their own game and have their own plan for it.
Yeah, I think that's very fair analysis of it. I think the way Mayo have played so far in the Connacht Championship, and I don't think you can hold too much back before Croke Park, for the simple reason you need to be trying these things out before the business end of the Championship. You need to be trying them out in the National League. The big emphasis on Mayo is intensity in the tackling, that when they don't have the ball, the forwards work so hard, and that was so apparent in the three games they've played so far, but especially against Galway, which was, I suppose, the game they were up for the most, and the game which, in advance, most people would have thought they would have had the most difficulty with. They turned the Galway defence over so many times in that first half, and so many of their scores in that first half came from turnover balls. And I think that's what they'll be looking at doing. Donie Buckley has worked in a big way now this year. He's obviously a big change from 2012 as well. You talk about changes in playing personnel, but Donie Buckley as a coach has been earning rave reviews in terms of how he's coaching Mayo in terms of forward play, and specifically in terms of coaching the tackle. And you can see that now, that there's a huge emphasis, so more than from Donegal, on the emphasis on turning over balls and attacking at speed once you do turn over that ball. And I think that's what Mayo are looking at doing. They're not looking at getting a load of people behind the ball and trying to suffocate teams in that way, but they've been looking to try and slow down any quick break from Donegal. If they can't turn over the ball, they'd be looking at attacking in such a way that would halt the momentum, that would halt the man running with the ball, that would make him go backwards, and just allow themselves not so much to get loads of bodies behind the ball, but allowing everyone to get set. Maybe a couple of midfielders might just drop back, maybe a couple of the half forwards. You know, that's as much as you'd be envisaging from Mayo.
Okay, Ed. Before we let you go, just get a prediction off you. How many are Mayo going to win by on Sunday? And how long before Michael Murphy is booked on the foot of James Horan's comments?
Well, it would be quite ironic if he was booked for shouldering James Horan, because we were saying at work there that comment about, I don't know if any of you have been hit by a Michael Murphy tackle lately. I can't see how James Horan would have been hit by a Michael Murphy tackle and be able to make that comment, but Chinch Galella, how close is it going to be? It's going to be very close, I think. But I honestly think that 3 games in 2 weeks is a big ask for Donegal. And they have shown signs of fatigue. It would be, the way I described it in our podcast today, is with the injury problems Donegal have, with the, I suppose, the form questions over a couple of other very good players, the likes of Michael Murphy, the likes of Frank McGlynn, like so many of the key players are either injured or not playing well, and with the fatigue issue, it would be a remarkable achievement for Donegal to go up to Croke Park the next day and turn over a Mayo team who have certainly improved vastly from the team you would have seen in last year's All-Ireland final. I think it's going to be very close, but I think when it comes down to it, down the home stretch, I think Mayo would probably have that bit more in the leg. And I think the fact that Donegal are All-Ireland champions and Mayo are so hungry for that All-Ireland that they don't have, I think that's going to play a huge part in Sunday. The players, I know from talking to a couple of lads around Brayfield that would be on good terms with them, like, the players can't wait for this game. It's the one they've been looking forward to since last year's final, and I think Mayo will edge it, but the key thing is, though, that they start well and that they don't go behind, because if Donegal get them, like, if there's a start like last year's All-Ireland final, it's an entirely different game we're looking at then. But I think if Mayo can go toe-to-toe with Donegal up to half-time and beyond, I think they can win out down the final quarter.
Well, I hope you're wrong. But anyway, listen, folks, that's Ed McGrew from Mayo News. They've just recorded their podcast today. It's available on iTunes right now, the Mayo News GA podcast. Well worth a listen to, I have to say. I've listened to it many times myself, and it's a very good podcast. So, Ed, thank you for your comments, and best of luck on Sunday, I guess.
You say that very fast. Yeah. Listen, lads, okay, thanks. Good chat. We'll see you in Crow Park.
Cheers, Ed. See ya.
Thank you.
Hello, bye-bye.
Okay, now they've got rid of Ed, we can talk behind his back about all the dirty tricks we're going to pull on Sunday. Let's try and focus on Donegal. We heard plenty from Ed there on where Mayo are at and why he thinks they're, why justified in feeling they're in such a good position. The way I read this is that even if Mayo haven't improved, Donegal aren't in the same position we were in last year, and that leaves us very vulnerable to play in a team like Mayo or Dublin or Kerry or whoever we could have gotten the draw. I think a few things can save us. One is that we've been planning for this game probably even before the Tyrone game, certainly after the Tyrone game, and maybe that's part of the reason why we were so flat in the Ulster final. Where do you see things, Alan, as we go into this massive proposition on Sunday?
Massive proposition indeed. I see Mayo are 4-6 in the bookies. We're 6-4. I would think that's about right at the minute. One of the great intangibles, I think, is the hunger factor. We saw that with Monaghan, and even after the Monaghan game, we were saying that about Mayo, because Mayo are bound to be the hungriest team in Ireland after last year, and even for some of the older players like Alan Dillon, who've maybe lost 3 All-Ireland finals. So I really think we'll have to think on our feet for this one. Mayo weren't going to be anywhere near as open, or I think they went 1-1 last year, which really ruined their whole chances before the game even got going. So they'll really, really be up for it. But I think, as we said, like, we did plan for August Bank Holiday. We took a slight detour to Carrick and Shannon there. And Mayo are definitely one of the teams that Jim and Rory certainly looked very hard at this year. So maybe the fact that we're coming in a little bit under wraps here, and there's not a lot being said about us because Jim's taken a lot of the media this week, that might suit us a little bit. But I think it's a massive proposition, as you said there yourself.
Yeah, I mean, expectations are quite low, Damien, I'd say in the county as well as nationally.
They certainly are, although I do think that people are intending to travel in good numbers on Sunday. But yeah, expectations are low. I mean, it's the first time under Jim McGuinness, I think, that, and from my own perspective, that I've gone in with anything other than full confidence that we're going to win the game. Even against Dublin in 2011, I was convinced beforehand we were going to win it.
3-2.
At half time, we were gleefully just laughing about how much we had done on the rack. But yeah, look, this aura of invincibility, so called thing, has been comprehensively blown out of the water by Monaghan. But look, Donegal haven't played in the Ulster Championship this year with anything near the elan or the panache that they played last year. And I mean, if anything, it's Mayo are coming through with the type of form that we were displaying in last year's provincial championship. People are in a wee bit of a downer, a bit more cautious. We were cock a hoop, I suppose, after beating Tyrone earlier on in the season. We didn't quite read the problems that were there in the down game. We got badly caught out of Monaghan, but at least we've got that and we've learned from it. So our credentials have been strongly tested this season. We're the only team, I think, in the last eight to have played two of the other last eight teams. We've played down as well, being a Division One team. So we've played a good caliber of teams. We didn't need to go looking for the friendly matches or the challenge matches that Mayo needed to try and find out where they stood. So we have a good idea where we stand. It's not exactly where we'd want to be. We'd want to be a wee bit better, but we'll see what how quickly Mayo can get up to the pace of that. Like, I do think that their forwards probably aren't firing, even though they've put up big scores. Some of their forwards aren't quite up to form, and I'd be looking to test their keeper. It is their third choice keeper at this stage. I'd be looking to test him. He is only just back into the panel. And as I said, I don't think they'll set up as defensively as Laois or Monaghan or Down did. And our attack should have more space to operate. And the key thing for us is whether we can get our counter-attacks, whether we can force turnovers in our own 45, and whether we can start our counter-attacks from there. And, the key men for us in that last year was Frank McGlynn, Carl Lacey and Mark McHugh. Big question marks. Carl Lacey's named the team, but big question marks over him and Mark McHugh. And, Frank actually was showing flashes of what he was capable of against Laois. So, we're not going there, and I'm not going there full of confidence. But we're not throwing the hat at it either. We've a very good shot, and I think we've as good a shot as anyone of winning this thing out. But it's going to require one very big performance on Sunday.
Yeah, Chris, if we think back to September last year, that opening goal, the key actors, Carl Lacey, Michael Murphy. We know Carl Lacey isn't the player he was last year in terms of his physical well-being. I think I'm concerned about the form of Michael Murphy as well.
Yeah, I think if we're going to win the game on Sunday, I think it's generally accepted we're going to need a big performance from Michael Murphy. He hasn't been the Michael Murphy of early 2013, never mind, late 2012. Like, Michael came into 2013 and he was absolutely on fire. Yeah. And I suppose it was always going to be hard for Michael to sustain that because he was playing so well for club, for college, for county, and it was probably natural that we'd see a tapering down of Michael's performances. But, you know, if there's one place and if there's one thing that can get a player of Michael's calibre going, it's Croke Park on Championship Sunday in front of a close to full house. And it's, I suppose, two things on Sunday. I'd be going again like Damien for the first time under Jim with it, just a little bit of apprehension. But I think Mayo was a great draw for our boys. And I think it's a draw they'd be quite happy with as well. You know, Mayo were probably feel that they owe us hugely from last year. They felt after the All-Ireland that bar the two early goals that they had our number. They've got players back from injury and stuff. But we've been limping along. But that said, we've been coming up against much, much tougher challenges than Mayo faced. Like, you know, if we look at the scores they put up against Galway, Roscommon and London. You know, meanwhile, we're toiling against Tyrone, Down and Monaghan. You know, you can't really compare those. Mayo have had to go and look for challenge games against, ironically enough, Monaghan. That one that served Monaghan so well. And from what we hear from that game in Longford, both teams set up very defensive Donegal-esque systems. So we wonder what James Horne has got out of that clash. They also played Cavan and Kildare, and I believe also two teams who set up very Donegal-esque against them. But that said, they haven't played Donegal yet. Remains to be seen how fit Carl Lacey is, and you know, you'd wonder, would we take a chance on Carl? And as Alan mentioned earlier, those wide open spaces of Croke Park, because you can be found out if there's one place that can find you out, it's Croke Park.
It's just a risk. There's talk about Mark McHugh might still be in the running. I think it's just a risk to start with Carl Lacey and Mark McHugh. If you're going to take a punt, take a punt on one of them and let Ryan McHugh play, because I think Ryan McHugh has shown he's more than capable already.
Yeah, I actually think, I mean, other than the Monaghan game, where we were exposed at times, even that game we only conceded 13 points. I mean, our defence has been pretty good in terms of keeping out scores. Now, of course, it helps when you're up against such an ultra-defensive team that they're limiting themselves and what they can do. So, I mean, I think, yeah, keeping it close is a must. And then it all depends on, you know, what we can do going forward.
I think the big thing is going to be goals. And, I mean, by that, Mayo goals. We have a very, very good record in Championship football and keeping clean sheets. Very good record. Even look back at last year, Kerry and Cork both caught us with late goals that, you know, really, really angered our defence as a unit, because, you know, they were sort of had kept themselves so proud with that record. The two goals we conceded in Ulster Championship football were both a penalty goal and a rebounded penalty. Mayo scored 9 goals, I think, in Championship football this year.
And the flip side, we've scored 2 and we'd scored more in 2011 even than we scored this year. In 2011 was, you know, annus horribilis, you know, in terms of attack and play.
We're closer to there, 2011 than we are 2012 now, though. Yep. And I think if we're going to win games, it's going to win them on slow or low scoring games. I don't think there'll be a goal fest, and then rely on the likes of Colm and hopefully Michael and Patrick to stitch us a few points.
I suspect we'll set up very defensively on Sunday, actually.
Funny,
because we can't afford to give them a start. Like, you know,
yeah, and I think after the Monaghan game, we will see ultra defensive Donegal from the start, not wanting to have to go chase the game. And as Damien mentioned, Rob Henley's in goal for Mayo now. A very, very good goalkeeper in his own right, but he is their third choice goalkeeper. And I do suspect we'll see from the off Murphy starting on the edge of the square, and we will try aerial bombardment. Mayo probably will get a few more bodies back, but their full back line was suspect in September. We made light of it.
Yeah, as Ed says, though, it looks like Aidan Higgins is going to probably... I think he might be the player to drop. What do you think? Aidan Higgins, sorry, pardon Keith. Me. Keith, the player to drop there. But like, he's an excellent footballer. But last year, he was taken up with a man marking job on Patrick McBeardy. And we all even said then that he's definitely got more footballing than that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I imagine they will target Michael. But One thing, you know, we took away from Carrick and Shannon was the form of Colm McFadden, you know, that in Carrick against, you know, if, you know, been marked very tightly. Paddington Bertie, 3 points in play, and then 3 points from our half forwards, which, you know, if we can get 6 points from those outside Michael and Colm, I'm happy enough.
We need to be getting 6 points out of them. We haven't got it this year today. Mm. It's like, I was just looking, like, Donegal scored 243. And 134 of that has come from McFadden, Murphy, and McBrearty.
Mm.
They're accounting for, what's that, 70% or something, or 78% of Donegal scores, and they're taking 7 out of every 10 kicks at goal are coming from those lads as well. Yeah. Like, so last year we had great support coming from the half-forward line, from midfield, even from defence, in terms of players getting forwards and taking their scores. That really hasn't been apparent this year, and that's one of the, like, we just haven't been able to get those players forward to take it. And you see sometimes they look nervous, like, you know, when they're taking the shots, or they're overthinking it, and they're just over carrying and giving a bad pass at the end of it, or whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
So there needs to be, you know, we were without, you know, we had Michael Murphy last year was, I suppose, below par, not fully fit right up until the All-Ireland final. So other players seem to shoulder a lot more of the scoring burden. And this year, you know, we've heard about how great Michael and Colm and Patrick Bertie are, no question about it, a very, 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 an excellent full forward line. But, you know, some of the other players are going to have to stay. Instead of waiting for them to do everything for us, some of the other players are going to have to say, we need to do it ourselves as well.
Well, the way I think of it, when you have a blanket defence, it's not about getting the right man in space. It's about the man in space is the right man. So whoever is up on the 40 has to be capable of taking a shot.
Has to be confident, and they don't.
Exactly.
They don't really seem to have been confident. No. They have been looking to lay the ball off to the shooters, to the three full forwards. Like, you know, I mean, I think McBrearty's got 6 points from 12 attempts at the posts. Murphy's got 10 points from 16. Of course, there's a few frees in there, and like McFadden's had 30 attempts at the post and scored 118. So, you know, the rest of the players, you could throw a hat over them, like, you know, I mean, there's so few. Mm. What is a 1-9 from the rest of them, like, you know, so, I mean.
Yeah, well, even, I mean, whatever about the defensive performance in the Ulster final from Carlisi in the first half, the worst, well, one of the worst things to see was in the second half when he went running forward and he just didn't have the legs to get past the Monaghan defender. And that was like the point he scored against Kerry in the quarter-final last year, sorry, when he just knocked it over the bar. And, you know, when he can't do that, Frank McGlynn, fair play to him, got forward that day and did it. And then your half forward line by and large hasn't been contributing. I mean, it was good to see Liam McLoone coming on the last day and taking a big ignorant kick a goal and getting over the bar, like, you know, because that's what we need from the rest of those guys.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, so we've obviously named our team, Chris, and Carlisi is named at number 6 instead of Declan Walsh, who, you know, I don't know if that's because we want to start with Carlisi here because Declan Walsh maybe isn't fit to start himself. Do we think that's the team we'll start on Sunday?
I don't think so. Declan Walsh hasn't really put a foot wrong any time he's come into the team. He did now pick up a slight injury on Saturday night, but he will be okay. Still huge question marks over Carl. And I just, to be honest, can't see him starting. As Alan alluded to earlier, there are still rumblings that Mark McHugh may feature. Certainly not from the start. You know, we made such a big play about his injury and stuff. I don't think it would be at all wise to even contemplate putting him in from the start. I do suspect maybe we might see Mark being introduced to the subs or something. In terms of Carl, it's a tough one. Like, I mean, he is so pivotal, but when his fitness levels aren't where we need them to be, then we might be better served doing what we did against Tyrone and trying to hold them maybe till 40, 45 minutes and then see if he can give us a really 110%, 20 to 25 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough one to call. Okay, guys, we've talked long and hard. What's the gut telling you, Alan?
Oh, the gut is telling me that I think there's a kick in this Donegal team, but I don't know if the kick is big enough this time. I really have the feeling with Mayo, this could be their year.
Mm.
A lot of people are criticising the fact that Connacht isn't a very strong championship, but I think they know that at the start. Mm. They're the one team in the country going to aim for August Bank Holiday. And as you said, teams like Galway and Roscommon didn't do badly in the qualifiers either. So I'm going to be negative here and go for a 2-point Mayo victory.
Mm-hmm. Damien?
Yeah, the head is saying one thing, the heart's saying another. Like, you know, when you Donegal have the capability of winning, no doubt about it, and they'll be very proud. And, you know, they're all Ireland titles on the line now on Sunday. But you know, we've been tipping Donegal the whole way through in this podcast, like, but no, I think Mayo may have our number as well, like, you know. Now, that's not to say that we're not going there and going to give it a good shot and all that, but yeah, I think, yeah, look, the stars seem to be aligning nicely for Mayo. We're just not at the pitch that we probably need to be to be able to take out one of, like, probably the three best teams in the country, like, you know. So I think it's looking good for Mayo, but let's spoil the party for them if we can.
Mm-hmm. Chris?
Yeah, I'd have to go with the boys that, you know, Mayo are favourites, and rightly so. But we are the All-Ireland champions. We've already surrendered, without much in the way of a fight, one trophy. I really don't expect us to do likewise with the second, when it's do or die. We had a second chance when we surrendered the last one. We don't this time. As I said earlier, this is a draw I feel our players would have wanted. For that reason, I'm going to side ever so slightly with Donegal to get over the line. Ever so slightly.
Woo-hoo.
Cast and vote for Kieran there. Kieran, off you go.
No, I just got a text from Frank here. He's tipping Donegal by six. He's confident as ever. So, yeah, I'm Paddy McGrath.
<first goal.
laughs> Yeah, I'm afraid I'm more Alan than Damien. I think we're just going to fall short. I think last year we were building towards something. This year, it just doesn't feel like that. I mean, we had a tremendous victory over Tyrone the first day out that was hard won, and I think we saw what that meant to Jim McGuinness after the game. And I just think that all the things that people have said from the word go about us this year, that the hunger, it's impossible to repeat, everyone's going to be shooting at you and so on, I think they're all kind of coming home to roost now. And couple, you know, we got away with it last year. We didn't have any injuries that we really knew of, you know. Obviously Michael was carrying something all season, but, like, I mean, this year there's been just too many injuries, too much of the time. I don't think people have been able to get momentum going, so I'm afraid, yeah, it's Mayo for Sunday and possibly Mayo for Sam as well. Okay folks, we'll be back at some stage again to wrap this up, come whatever may, on Sunday. Thanks for listening, and hope to see you all on Sunday.
Thanks for listening to Football Special.